I see a lot of familiar faces, but then some not so familiar. So I will try to give you a brief summary of where I started and where we are. We will be doing a slideshow in the social hall after the service, and I've got some wonderful pictures of what's going on in our little center in Nicaragua. We work in Jinotega, Nicaragua. It's just north, about 3.5 hours north of the capital city of Managua. I should tell you that everybody says, how did you ever get interested in Nicaragua, of all places? Well, it happened when I was studying my master's degree in Spanish, and a professor brought in a poem that was written by a Central American priest from Nicaragua, Ernesto Cardenal, called Oración for Marilyn Monroe. Well, a Central American priest writing a poem about Marilyn Monroe, that got my attention. And then when they were, Time magazine announced that the Nicaraguans, the Sandinistas, had were all but wiped out, the revolution was over, and Somoza would remain in power, a dictator that the U.S. kept in power for 43 years, father and son. That was the beginning of January of 79. And then Somoza made a big mistake. He killed Pedro Joaquín Chamorro, who was the leader of the opposition press, the La Prensa, who was attacking his dictatorship regularly. He was assassinated. And then even the wealthy people said, well, if he'll kill Pedro, he'll kill any one of us. And they joined the revolution. And in July of 79, the revolution triumphed and Somoza was no more. And I saw that in Time magazine. And I thought, darn, one of these little countries actually got Uncle Sam's boot off their neck. And knowing that Ernesto Cardenal was the Minister of Culture under the new Sandinista regime, I could not believe what some people told me, that they were anti-Semitic and all kinds of bad things were happening under the Sandinistas. So I made some snide comments to my students. I was still teaching Spanish at the time, and they said, you don't like what President Reagan is doing in Nicaragua, do you? I said, no, I don't. And they said, but he's the president. He has to know more than you. I said, well, I wouldn't bet on that. And they said, but he has advisors. They study that. They know. I said, I wouldn't give you a nickel for that fanatic Elliot Abrams. And then they said, but you've never even been there. And that's all she wrote. As they say. I called my travel agent and said that I wanted a trip to Nicaragua. She said, that's not a tourist destination. There's a war going on down there. Because Reagan had started up the counter-revolutionaries, the Contra. And I said, yes, I know that. I'm going as fact-finding. Although I have to put on my little visa that it's tourism. So I went down and took slides and traveled all over the country. And I liked what I saw. The Sandinistas were dividing up the huge land holdings that Somoza had and giving it to the farmers, the peasants. And there were little schools building up all over the country in the boonies. And even booths, you couldn't call them anything but booths, were medical centers in these little centers all over the country, out in the boonies, where a doctor would come once a week. And education was free. And all of these, they were taking the young girls that had just gotten out of high school who could read and write and turning them into teachers. And I met two of them on a bus going to Rama when I was traveling through the country and talked to them at some length. And they were delighted because they were coming from little villages. One was called Muelle de los Bueyes, Dock of the Oxen. And that was where oxen would pull a ship up the river, and very tiny places. And they were going to Rama, And for them, Rama was the big city. They had a park. Didn't matter that it was overgrown with grass and the swings didn't have swings in them. But there was a park. And there was a movie theater. Well, it was a big old house, and they were going to have a movie that night. Was I going? I said, what's showing? They didn't know. Didn't matter. They were going to movies. And they told me that they were there for a seminar that the Sandinistas put on with all of the young teachers coming in from the boonies to learn how to teach. And I got letters from them, and believe me, they didn't know how to read and write that well. It was because Spanish is phonetic, you could understand what they'd written, but it certainly wasn't correct Spanish. And the Sandinistas were trying to teach them better how to teach. And there's still about 60% of the teaching staff in Nicaragua are those what they call empirical teachers. So I liked what I saw. I came back, showed my slides in Costa Mesa Church. Somebody from Anaheim said, come show our people. And somebody from Laguna, come show our people. I went back, and that was 83, 84, Christmas. I went back the summer vacation of 84, again in 85. And standing in a burned out one room schoolhouse, knowing that our money had paid for that, even if it was a penny of my tax money, it was too much. I decided I had to do something to help for what we'd taken away. So they didn't need me to teach them Spanish, but I could teach the women to sew. I have six kids, and I was always sewing for them. Not a seamstress by any means, but I could teach them to sew. So I did. I put out the word to all the places where I'd shown my slides and everything that I was going to take a truck, a Toyota 4x, and go down and with a sewing machine from here and some materials and donations, I was going to teach the women to sew. And I did it in the first little village in up in the mountains where I met my own little protege, Maribel. And you'll see her picture in the slides. She was 6 years old at the time and determined to learn to sew, although I wasn't there to teach kids. But she was there when I got up and when I went to bed at night. And when somebody didn't come for the time on the machine, she was a Johnny on the spot. She learned. You couldn't help but notice a kid like that. So I brought her up to the States, and she was here for a year, learned to read and write in English and speak English and learned to use my computer. Later, I brought her up on my vacations, on her school vacations, I should say, which are over Christmas and January. And she only thought she'd go through the third grade because that's all they had in her village. She's now in León, Nicaragua, in her last year of university, and she will have a title as a pharmacist in next July. So she's come a long way. We have a sponsorship program, and I did buy a house in Jinotega, so I have a permanent center, and I had a wonderful woman who was our director for a while. Until then, I decided to build a clinic on the back, and as the clinic grew and things grew, she wasn't able to handle it because she didn't have the education. We now have another young woman who, with the help of sponsors from Arizona, did her studies down there, got her degree, an MBA, and is now our CEO. So there's another success story. We've also, a year from last Christmas, one of our students graduated from medical school. And a doctor from Arizona, who saw her through the 6 years of medical school, flew down to walk her down the aisle. He was extremely proud. We have now, it started with just a couple of kids that some people here wanted to help go to school and knew I was working in Nicaragua, that I could handle that, and I said, sure. Well, it's grown now to about 100 kids. I haven't made the last count. Some graduate, some start, and I think it's about 100 or 101 kids now that are sponsored by people from here so they can go to school. And it's mainly because if they don't have that help, they would be out selling things door to door in the neighborhoods in order to get enough money to feed the family. It's an extremely poor area, and the girls that we choose are chosen by, well, the mothers come and make a application and ask for the help. And then when we have a person who wants to be a sponsor, I tell Fanny, who's our director, and she sends out the person who's in charge of sponsorships to visit the home, talk to the mother, see and talk to the teachers and find out what the child's situation is in school, and then we start a new sponsorship. And we have the clinic going, and that clinic has saved lives because we kind of twist arms. The mothers who have sponsored students are required to go to our clinic for talks about hygiene, nutrition, and pap smears. And two of the women had bad pap smears. And it was hard to get them to go. But we told them, that's part of your obligation. And tag on to it, we didn't find two. One, it was contained in the uterus, and it was easily fixed. But the other one had to go into Managua for months of radiation treatment. And now she's back and looks good, because I've seen her in the evenings in our literacy classes. We have a literacy class that meets every night at our place. And we even have two classes now. One for those who have gone through and learned to read and write. And I should tell you that 10 of our women who came to pick up the money for their sponsorships would sign with a thumbprint. Now only one does. And she says, I'm too old to learn. It's okay. So it's amazing. People who couldn't even read and write, and their children are in school, and they will not ever have to sign with a thumbprint. One woman, I asked her to sign with an X. She didn't know how to make an X. I had to take her hand and make the X. So after that, they just started, thumbprint. We are funded by this sort of thing, just giving talks and showing our slides. And we need to keep the clinic going. We have a full-time doctor, a Nicaraguan doctor and nurse, a very fine doctor. She's marvelous. The people love her. They say, we've had three. I've raised this one's salary because I wanted to make sure we keep her. But raise her salary. It's ridiculous. $350 a month is what our doctor gets paid. And that's a good salary in Quimotega. But doctors aren't expected to get good salaries. They're not expected to get rich, and they don't even have cars. It's quite different from our society. But we're doing a lot of different things down there, and our girls are going through high school and going on to local colleges to get careers. And we're watching out for the health, and we're watching out for the environment. We are providing gas stoves. I think I have a short list now of people who are sponsored, who have a sponsorship here, who do not have a gas stove yet. But what we're doing is trying to get in those gas stoves, propane gas. It's just a three-burner stove with a little table and a shelf underneath, a full tank of gas, costs $100. That keeps them from having to buy the firewood that comes from the rainforest. So we've got a lot of things going in a lot of different areas, and we need all the help we can get from any of you. And I ask you to watch the slideshow and pick up a newsletter if you haven't received one. If you'd like to get our newsletter, we're trying to do it by email now, and I find that almost everybody gets email. And it's such a savings for us not to have to do those mailings. But if anyone has not received the newsletter by email, I have printed out five of them this morning that are on the back table. There are also little brochures back there that can tell you more about how you can help.